We all have a yearning for love, but relationships can be confusing and complicated. Dr. Tammy Balaszewski says it all starts from within. It starts with a journey to center. Here's your host for Journey to Center on Empower Radio, Dr. Tammy Balaszewski.
Hello, my darling. Thank you so much for connecting with me here on Journey to Center and Empower Radio today. You know, don't you think friendships and relationships are the best thing in the world? I certainly do. That's part of the reason I do this show, so I can connect with you. So do you also have friends you can call up when you want to laugh, get clarity, when you need words of wisdom, soul-level support, when you need help, or just want to giggle? I do, and one of the best things about doing my show, of course, is you. One of the second best things is introducing you to my personal posse of pals, wise ones, light workers, teachers, and uplifters. Today, we're here with one of my spiritual pathmates, confidants, and one of the most enlightened, empowered, and entertaining people I know, Penny Orloff. Penny is a professional life coach and fairy godmother. She's been a tarot reader for over 50 years and has used the cards in her counseling practice for decades. For 10 years, she was the art therapist at a residential drug and alcohol rehab facility in Malibu. She is the author of Art as Lifework, Life as Artwork, a creativity seminar and workbook that has been offered nationwide since 1991. And she's currently at work on her new book, Who Would You Be If You Had Nothing to Bitch About? Her personal development system, Wishful Thinking, synthesizes a human proclivity for magic and symbol with practical steps to the manifestation of your highest good and greatest joy. She's also a regular contributor of stories to the Chicken Soup for the Soul series of books. In her former life, Penny was a working actor and dancer in Los Angeles when a Juilliard scholarship took her to New York. She sang more than 20 principal soprano roles for New York City Opera and played feature roles on Broadway and theater and concert and opera engagements took her all over the U.S., Europe, and the former Soviet Union. Her solo show, Jewish Thighs on Broadway, based on her best-selling novel, toured the U.S. for a decade, including a successful run off-Broadway in 2005. So, Penny, thank you for saying yes to another conscious conversation here with me and with our friends here on Empower Radio.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I always love these conversations with you.
Yeah, we've been doing this for about a decade now, and I just love to share you with my friends and the masses now because you've helped me, given me clarity, given me guidance, waved your magic fairy wand on me and helped me clear the path to my greatest good and greatest joy. And now I want to have you help others do that for themselves as well.
Well, here I am.
Here you are.
Here we are again.
Big magic wand. So something we talk about a lot is whatever we're speaking about, we're going that direction. And it can be so compelling to talk about what is annoying and what irritates us. And you say, if you don't want to go that direction, don't talk about it.
I do find that talking about it is useful only if you're actually listening to what you're saying. You know, figuring out what you don't like, okay, but then if you're really listening to that, the action step is to minimize or eliminate those things from your life, you know? And that takes work. Like if you hate your job but you feel stuck in your job because you're afraid or procrastinating about moving on or looking at other options, that's your choice to be in that job for whatever the payoff. But notice what you're saying and then change it, even if it means looking for another job. Oh, but what'll I do about money? You know, if you do what you love, it's true that the money does follow. But you have to be willing to let go of the jelly beans in your hand in order to extract your hand from the jelly bean jar. You have to let go of what you're clinging to that you say you hate, then let it go and find something you prefer.
Well, and also I think directing our focus. So say you're in a job you hate, can you consider some things about the job that you appreciate or enjoy? And I love how you would talk about this in regards to like our parents and our childhood. We can look back and we can tell the stories about what was bad and wrong. But if you really dig deep or just choose to slightly shift your focus, you can also consider and think about and talk about the things that were good and right. I think we all have that opportunity. It's just a matter of being aware of it and really taking responsibility for it.
Wow. You know what? You've spoken about this before, and I find that so valuable. It's about the story we tell ourselves and what evidence we're looking to prove our point. My story used to be I was this abused child, and you know, and there was plenty of evidence for that. And I looked at that evidence, and my story that I was a victim and an abused child, and I looked through that catalog of my childhood and found plenty of proof of that, plenty of evidence. Mm-hmm. And the payoff was I got to be a victim. I got to be an abused child, and I got to feel terrible about that. And then at some point by accident, I saw some happy stuff going on there. And I looked at those and made me laugh or made me feel good. And I thought, what about if I looked for memories, looked for evidence? What if I wasn't an abused child? I mean, not that I negated, but just the what if. What if I was treasured? What if I was loved? What if I had a nice childhood and I looked for evidence of that and my story changed?
Mm-hmm.
And I became
so did
a
your
happy
whole life.
Person. And
your whole life changed.
My whole life changed because of how I perceived myself as somebody loved and privileged and happy. I laughed. As a child, it wasn't nonstop beatings and weeping. It wasn't. I laughed as a child. I did fun things. So what if that was my childhood? And it's not, and I counsel my clients this way too. Just do what if. I'm not negating that what you say is true. But, you know, the quantum theory points out that it is indeed and proves constantly. It is indeed an observer-dependent universe. What are you seeking? Because that's what you perceive. Mm-hmm. And it's all there all the time. And what we seek is what we perceive. It's like that game when you're a little kid in the car and it's a long, boring trip. And you play the game, Spot the Yellow Volkswagen. And suddenly
bug.
You see every
mm-hmm.
yellow Volkswagen. You see every single one. You do not see blue Chevys. Because that's not what you're scanning for. It doesn't mean they're not there.
Right.
That's
right.
Not what you're looking for, so you don't perceive them.
Right. Well, I love this quote from The Course in Miracles. The ego is like a scavenger dog, and it will always find what it's looking for. And when we talk about the ego, it's that place of being in separation or fear. We're always scanning the horizon, looking for what's bad and wrong. But what I've found is, as I've chosen, and that has taken some work and some diligence, to live from my heart and love and my soul, as I scan the horizon and look for what I want to see, I find it. And so I want to look for the magic. I want to look for the synchronicity. I want to look for the love. I want to look for the support. And the more I set that intention and the more I looked for it, the more I saw it, the more I found it. And just like you, Penny, when you had suggested this, looking back on my childhood and really looking for the memories and focusing on those moments of laughter, moments of connection, moments of joy, and rather than focusing on what was bad and wrong, I started focusing on what is good, what was good and right. And as I have done that, that indeed has been what has come more forward into my life currently. And my experience now of life is incredible and overflowing with joy and support and miracles and synchronicity, because I think I worked that muscle, you know?
I think so too. You changed the story. You know, the narrative we say becomes our reality.
Yes.
In the beginning was the word. You betcha. What we say, what we talk about becomes our reality. Who was it? I think it was Albert Einstein. I think so. Who said, you have to live either as if nothing is a miracle, nothing is magical, or
everything is a miracle.
And we have to choose that.
Yes. He also said the most important question we can answer for ourselves is, Do you believe the universe is a safe and loving place or not? And if you don't believe it is, and you don't believe in miracles, you're going to get to experience kind of hell on earth. But if you can at least open your mind to the possibility that you were loved and supported, and that everything's a miracle, that is how I think we start to spiral up. And if we are consistent and if we are diligent, we're eventually going to get to the higher altitude and experience of more heaven on earth.
You know, that's a beautiful metaphor. I totally believe in that. And to be more practical, just what comes up for me in the here and now, and this is, it's got to be 6.5, 7 years ago, about prosperity, because you wrote a book about prosperity after you wrote the book about manifesting love from the inside out. You wrote Manifesting Prosperity from the Inside Out. While you were working on that book, you asked me, what is your concept of prosperity? You were doing research. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, free time is important to me. If I have free time, I feel prosperous. If I have excellent seats to the opera and the ballet and theater, if I have great seats to that, that's prosperity. You know, if I hear bird songs, and you listened to all this and you were taking notes and you said, okay, that list is great. And I see you have manifested your idea of prosperity. Your life is that. But one thing I noticed, there's no money there. What's wrong with money? And I suddenly twinked out, I had no words. And I realized in that moment, when you asked me that question, what's wrong with money? That's not in your concept of prosperity. And I realized it hadn't been, because I was, you know, a starving artist. And if I could do my art form and live a free life, I would be, that was my idea of prosperity. But when you said, money's not in there, is there something wrong with it? And within the next month, I had doubled my income, and a few years later, I paid cash for this house that I'm living in now, and suddenly everything changed. I became a patroness of the art to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars a year for my ballet dancers and for musicians and scholarships. And I mean, suddenly everything changed because money became part of my idea of prosperity, and I felt myself prosperous.
Yes.
It just, but when you asked me, okay, that's a
I know, it's the only time in my life that I remember you being silent for more than like 10 seconds. You were just like, and I just see your eyes going blink, 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 blink. I was like, Penny, are you okay? Hello. But you know, you were so funny to me, and you still are. You've got this, I think we all have sub-personalities. You have this scrappy little rebel inside of you. And it's like your arms are crossed. I don't need money. I can be prosperous and have a great life without it. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I like money, but you know, I mean, what's wrong with it? I mean, it's kind of fun. It's a cool tool. And you just really didn't. And I expected some sort of response, and I got nothing for quite some time.
Nothing.
Nothing. You had nothing. But it did seem to open your mind to the possibility of a different kind of story and relationship around cash. And it sure has been a lot of fun watching you enjoy and expand in your relationship with money. And now you truly are prosperous in every way. And it is, it's hysterical, and it's awesome. And I really see you as one of the most empowered, joy-filled, enlightened people I know at this point.
Oh, wow. I thank you for that feedback, because I feel it so much of the time. But, I notice that people have a lot of pain around money, and people feel like they're under the gun and they're always behind, and they don't have money, and they focus on the money. And if one looks past the money, what would that bring you? And that was my whole idea about, you know, theater tickets and free time and all that. If I were to be prosperous, what's beyond the money? And it was great seats to the theater and everything. And so I became an arts journalist. I wrote about it, and people always say, here are tickets. Will you come to this show, please? And I was happy to do it. So that was my way. I didn't need the money to give me those tickets. And the free time, I'm in show business. I was unemployed most of my life. I mean, I had lots of free time. That was prosperity to me. But
right.
That whole thing that people think only money is the key, that if you have X amount of dollars, you're prosperous. But one does have to look, what's at the other side of the money? What does the money give you that maybe you already could have even without dollars?
Right.
That is not to negate dollars, but what's at the other side of that? And for me too, you know, if I were very, very wealthy, I'd be a patroness of the arts. I always said that. So, okay, so now I have money and I'm a patroness of the arts.
Yes.
You know, so that's another piece of my prosperity beyond the money. What would that do for me? What would money enable? So it's not just having the money. What would the money enable? Because
right.
some people already have the prosperity. If you notice prosperity in your life, maybe abundant health, maybe friends, you know, who totally love you and would give you the shirt off their back or take you to the airport if you wanted, you know. So really looking at what is prosperity in addition to money, but not negating money.
Right.
I kind of got it backwards, which was what is prosperity independent of money?
Right.
But I also then negated money too. And you just kind of slapped me upside the head and said, that's good, but don't you have other ideas of prosperity that, you know, money would facilitate? And it was like, well, hell yes, I do.
Well, yes, so, I do.
Yeah.
Well, and I say all the time,
yeah, yes, I do.
Money in and of itself is not prosperity, but it is a piece of the prosperity puzzle. And some people can be uber focused on it. And for you, you were uber not focused on it. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But how is that working for you? And can it work better for you? So I think that and not everybody's really as open and available as you were in that moment, but you were pretty ripe for the picking. And
I was ripe.
You were ripe. And you've done the same thing for me in regards to, because I think when we're really ready, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And my greatest prayer is to expand my consciousness and get to the higher ground of living a heaven on earth life, not just because I want to enjoy a heaven on earth life, but because I also want to understand the terrain so I can help others get to higher ground. So the relationship with money was really an important piece of the puzzle for me. And I feel like I learned a lot. Now I like to teach a lot and help other people with that relationship as well. But one of the things that you said to me that was a revelation and an epiphany, as you shared mine with you, was when I was typing away on that book about prosperity and sitting in front of the computer for 14 hours in a row. And you came in and you said, you've been there all day. And I'm like, yep. And you said, wow, you have quite the work ethic. And I'm like, yep, thinking that's the most incredible compliment I could ever receive. And then you said, what are you trying to prove and to who? And I stopped mid keystroke. I looked at you and I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth, but I felt these pinprick of tears in the back of my eyeballs. And I went, ooh, this must be good. And what I said was, I'm trying to prove to my father I'm not stupid. And I'm trying to prove to my stepfather I'm not lazy. Which was dumb because he's been dead for 25 years. And then I went deeper with that, I was trying to prove to God that I was worthy of love, AKA worthy of prosperity. And I think if we're in that posture, even if it's unconscious, wow, we set ourselves up for a lot of heartache because there's nothing we can do or prove to anyone or to God that we're worthy. We just have to relax and know that we're worthy. And once we do that, once I did that, my entire world shifted.
Yeah. And I saw that shift. It happens almost immediately. And you're still on that trajectory from that moment, allowing yourself leisure time, allowing yourself rest. You were a human doing. You always had to be doing something. And it's impossible to prove a negative. I'm going to prove I'm not lazy. I'm going to prove I'm not stupid. And you weren't even, I'm going to be productive. I'm going to expand my knowledge and I'm going to really come into my own intellectually. That's not what you were doing. You were saying,
right.
I'm going to prove I'm not stupid.
But you're ending that sentence with stupid or lazy. So you're not going to be able to get away from those feelings and experiences. You've got to completely transform your thinking that I am worthy and I am wonderful and I am lovable. You have to end those sentences in your mind, not fighting with an againstness, but becoming more congruent about the goal or the intention that you want to claim for yourself.
And you know, that proving you're not stupid, when I met you, you were working on your second PhD, you had master's degrees, you had certifications for everything, and it was never enough because you were trying to prove not stupid. No matter that all these other people said, sure, certified, sure, degreed, all this other stuff, and it never was enough. It reminds me of Bernie Madoff, who billions and billions of dollars, he was so focused on the dollars, and it was never enough because it was only about the dollars, never about what that might bring. And he cheated many, many dozens, probably scores of people out of their life savings to amass billions of dollars for himself. And it never was enough. He couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't stop.
Well, and that's the thing. We can't
countless lives.
Yeah, we can't fill up from the outside in. We can't,
yeah.
You know, it's like my books are manifesting from the inside out. We have to really work on that relationship within ourselves for our life to be a reflection of what's good and positive and right. But we have to know that we are wonderful, worthy, blessed, abundant, prosperous, lovable beings for our life to reflect that back to us. Otherwise, we're just fighting with the reflection, and it is it's not a fight we're ever going to win.
It's so true. In your book, you know, you said it all begins with self-love, manifesting love from the inside out. When you were working on that book and all of us would come to the meditation sessions you were doing and you would work on stuff and we would give you feedback and we all benefited from your exercises. Is this valuable? And that whole thing about value, finding value in yourself. A lot of people I know ask me about your book, Prosperity. They want the Manifesting Prosperity book, but they don't go to the beginning and do the Manifesting Love from the Inside, which is the core of all of it, because prosperity comes from your exchange of value for value.
Right.
Like
yes.
what you have to give in exchange for something from someone else, equal value. And if you don't have the self-value and self-love, what can you exchange?
Yes.
And if you're not exchanging, if it's uneven, you do not really accept prosperity because it feels like somehow you're getting something for nothing. If you're not giving value,
right.
You know, maybe you can't accept it because you're an honest person and can't accept something for what you think of as nothing.
Well, yeah,
you know,
and that is true. Love is the foundation.
Yeah.
Self-love is the foundation of prosperity. Knowing our value, knowing our lovability, knowing our worthiness is how we start to manifest those relationships and situations where there is a nice, wonderful, beneficial exchange of energy.
Yeah. When you said what's wrong with money, this goes back to that moment when it dawned on me. I had been I was editing psychology dissertations, and I was, you know, eking out a living at $35 an hour, and everybody wanted me to do it because I was, I guess, so cheap. I didn't realize that. But then I found out within a couple of weeks after you asked me that question that the going rate was $95 an hour. No wonder I was overworked.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted me. I raised my rate. Some of my clients fell off. I tripled my income. I had still more people asking me to help them than I had time to do it. But I realized my value.
Yeah. We manifest what we believe we deserve. Yes. We have to expand into our
I exchanged value for value, and my time was suddenly worth, and I've raised the rates since then, and I have no difference. My tarot readings, geez. I mean,
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your tarot readings. We're actually out of time for this show. Can you believe it?
Have we really done? Oh, wow. You know what? When I talk to you, time completely disappears.
It really
does. It happens every time.
Well, I'm so grateful you said yes to a second show next week because I really want to get into the tarot readings and what you do for people in that regard. And just a quick shout out, if people want to get in touch with you, Penny, what is your email address?
My email is pennyorloff@me.com. So just my name at me.com. And I do it in person in Seattle, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, Arizona. Also by FaceTime and by email and by phone. So, you know, it's possible to get readings no matter, you don't have to be in Seattle when I'm there or be in LA when I'm there or Phoenix. You know, I regularly do it remotely.
Very good. Well, Penny, I love you. I'm so grateful that you spent some time here today sharing our stories and our epiphanies and our ahas. You're one of my favorite spiritual pathmates that have helped me get to higher ground. And it's a joy knowing that I've helped you get to higher ground. And my intention is to continue to go higher and see how good we can stand this experience to get. And also,
how good can you stand it to get?
And to my friends that have spent some time with us here today, if there's anything Penny and or I can do to support you to get to higher ground, we wholeheartedly roll out the red carpet, invite you to be part of our spiritual posse and pathmates to our heaven on earth life. So just be in touch with me, TammyBPhD@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, TammyBPhD.com, and know that we're on Facebook and Instagram, and we just look forward to connecting with you. So take good, gentle care of yourself. You're in our heart and our prayers. I hope you're celebrating yourself and knowing your value and living a life of great love. God bless you. Take good care of yourself. Onward and upward. Bye for now.